from 2 bounces, inside 50, from 60 to 40, closing, Penrose, goal, Pendlebury.
Here's Pendlebury with a little bit of space, he doesn't need much to slice you right open, and the champ, Scotty Pendlebury, well done.
Yes, Pendle.
Scott Pendlebury.
One of the greats of the game.
Pendle's with us this morning, right here he is.
Pendle's. How'd you pull up, mate?
I feel a lot better today. I was pretty sore Saturday and tired. But it's funny, after the game, walking back, I said, you sort of miss this feeling. I know what the next 24 hours involves and how sore I'll be, but I've missed it. Mm. It was great to be back in front of our fans and back at the MCG. And I think everyone just in general has enjoyed footy being back on the screens. Yeah.
It's been a really great opening round. Regardless of the results, I just feel like we all wanted it to start this year.
Oh, absolutely. I was so keen for the Thursday night game, watch Richmond-Carlton
And it was a draw.
Yeah, I reckon if I was a single man with no kids, I would have locked myself in a room and watched every game of footy. I was that keen. Instead, I watched 8 of the 9 games, not 9 of 9. But it was awesome to be back, as I said. And there was some quality football played. And it's great to see, St Kilda getting up. The giant Adelaide game I thought was a cracker.
Yeah, it was a belter.
Essendon, Hawthorn. Like, there were so many great results for big supporter bases out there, and it's what everyone wants as a football fan.
We've got Max Gawn in talking to us before the round every week, and I said to him, Collingwood will win by 6 goals against Geelong and win the flag.
What was his reaction?
He didn't like it.
No.
But I'm telling you.
He backed your prediction for the Geelong game.
He also thought
you'd get up.
Because I've been in here a bit. I know there's the cameras on, so you can have a reaction. You don't necessarily say it. So I'd like to see his reaction before what he
Good
said.
Call.
But
We'll get it for you.
I felt like in our game, we were doing a lot right early, offensively. Defensively, we were just pretty average in that first half. And once we tightened the screws in the second half, we were a lot better. And our offense for us was still really strong, but defensively, I think we kept them to 4 goals in the second half, no goals in the last quarter.
You kicked the last 8 goals. I mean, the wheels have fallen off of them.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think our defense really tightened up in that first half. They were able to transition the ball way too easily for how we like to go about it. And then, Darcy Moore, Nathan Murphy, our high backs, we tightened, our positioning a lot better. And then, we're able to flow with the ball a lot better as well.
You stepped down as captain in the off-season, which was entirely your choice. I saw the speech. I don't know how I saw it. It popped up somewhere online and it was lovely and everyone was very, happy for you that you'd made that decision. Mm. And then, of course, Darcy Moore stepped into that role. How did he go over the weekend?
Yeah, he's brilliant. Like, he's been in the leadership group now for a couple of years, so he's a great figurehead of the club now, and he speaks really well, handles himself really well.
Was it a hard decision for you to make?
Yes and no. Like, I think I've had my time in the sun in that role. Mm. I've done, I think 9 or 10 years, and the stage of my life now, I've got kids at school and I want to be out of there for drop off and pick up and things like that.
Because it sucks up so much more of your time being the captain.
It does take up a lot of time, and I'm sort of getting to realise how much time I'm getting back for my family at the moment and for me, and to worry a little bit more about myself. And I'm 35 and I'm trying to squeeze the lemon as much as I can to get as much out of myself as I can. And I feel like it's a good time to hand over for Darcy, and then also I'm still there playing and being able to support Darcy.
We saw in Darcy Moore's first week as skipper the Jack Ginnivan incident unfolded, which you don't have to touch on, but were you relieved that you didn't have to front up for incidents like that? Is that part of the relief?
I must say, I was at breakfast and Darcy called and just sitting there.
So what do I do?
Just as a chat, pretty much. And it's like, this has happened. And, for me, I was like, I'm not having to go into all these meetings now. Of course, for Darcy, I said to him, I'm here. If you ever need anything in support, ring me, whatever you need.
But not at breakfast, mate. See you, buddy.
Not at breakfast, and I'll catch you Monday. But just little moments like that where you realise you do get a bit of time back and I don't have to. Sorry to Alan
and
the kids.
And post-game as well.
Yeah.
Post-game when you've got to do the presser with the coach and, you're not probably getting the recovery in
or
straight away.
Even after a loss when none of the guys want to speak and they come up to you and like, no one wants to chat today. I'll go do it. And then you've got to do it. So,
I've
said to Darcy, I'll still help him out in all that sort of stuff. But I've enjoyed it. And I think Darcy's been great so far.
Excellent. It was a great win against Geelong.
At halftime when Geelong are 12 goals won, you were just talking before, do you feel stiff? Do you feel unlucky that they're so accurate? And do you feel like you're always going to get the momentum back in that second half?
Yeah, well, we're big on just playing the minutes, not playing the scoreboard. But it does, the voices started going out there like, geez, they're not going to miss. And I remember saying to Crispy and Darcy Cameron at some stage, I said, they'll miss when we need them to. Mm. Like they can't. It's just statistically not possible to keep kicking how they do. And if they do, we're going to get beaten by an outlier.
Mm. Yeah.
So if we keep doing what we do, I felt like we would eventually get them. Mind you, if they kept kicking how they were going to kick, they probably would have got us. But yeah, I think the weight of the game and how it was going, I think it, the result was fitting.
Because a lot of people, I heard some people over the weekend saying you were winning close games last year, which kept you in the competition overall.
Yeah, I think the general theme that I've heard about us is that it's not possible to do it again, win that many close games. And I probably agree with that. It's not.
Mm.
But we don't want to be in a position where we have to win that many close games. I think we've got better to the point that we shouldn't be in those games. But if we are, we know what to do.
Describe how sore you were. One out of 10. 10 out.
1 to 10.
1 to 10.
I've never been hit by a truck before.
Yeah, but you were that sore.
Like, yeah.
Because it's first game back.
Like I was struggling to sit down on the toilet. Like I had to,
oh,
like,
you were that sore. No.
Like just cork is in your legs, and I made the silly error late in the game to try and do a spoil with about 30 seconds to go, and got a good cork in my hip, so that I paid for that for most of the weekend. But yeah, I was very sore the next day.
How did you feel through the game?
Amazing.
Yeah,
I felt so
pre-season
good.
Pre-season
so
worked.
Yeah. Pre-season was good. I've been lucky enough through most of my career now to be able to get through all the pre-season.
How many pre-seasons have you done?
18.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
You say it like that.
Yeah. And it's funny, everyone says they get harder. I sort of feel like they get easier over time because you've just got a body of work behind you that you know what you've got to do and know how to manage yourself. And I can't train as hard as I did when I was, you know, 22 to 28, 29, but I still know how to manage my way through.
Mm. Mm. Some great games of the round, none better than North beating West Coast. And didn't they come out of the blocks for 2.5 quarters?
Yeah, North were... They were probably the two, the North Melbourne game and the St Kilda game. That's when you go back to being a football fan. I just sort of wanted to see, and I know both the coaches would hate people saying this, but I wanted to see like what Clarko would put on it and what Ross, their fingerprints and what they would be. And to no one's surprise, defensively, they were so organised. They were so set. They looked so much more composed and in sync with each other. And yeah, both got the result, which isn't surprising. And it was great to see, you know, packed stadiums and the North fans and the Saints fans up and about.
Well, and we were down a ruckman very early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hugh Greenwood did amazing in the ruck.
He did really well.
Yeah, amazing. And
basketball background.
Yeah, it's because of his basketball background.
Yeah, so much time.
I'll be in the ruck.
You know what it's like. You know what it's like, Pendles. You've got so much time with your basketball background.
So, no, it was just great to see, you know, get thrown that. And then even West Coast come back really hard and their senior players lifted and then North hang on and, you know, watching the last 10 minutes, I was sort of sitting there thinking, do North know how to win or are they going to be nervous here? And I think it was a great result for North and their fans.
The Hawks looked pretty ordinary against the Bombers. Probably enough said about that one.
Draw on Thursday night. I'm not sure if we've asked you before. How do you feel about draws? Are you an extra time man or did you think it's a nice quirk of the game?
I'd probably prefer a result. I'm not fussed either way, to be honest. But I'd prefer a result. I think it could be really exciting if it was just, you know, 5 minutes, next goal wins type of thing.
Or
I've heard the thing about like penalty shootout style. Like
I don't think so.
That's never going to happen.
That's not the sport. Yeah. The sport is not a penalty shootout.
We sort of live in a land of like we're really traditional when we want to be in football and we're really progressive when we want to be as well. Yeah. It's like the centre bounce. Why do we still bounce the ball at centre bounces?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There were some shocking bounces over the weekend.
Yeah, it's like, it's tradition. It's like, come on, let's throw it up. Progressive league. We're entertainment business. Yeah. Let's just throw
or
it
just start the quarter with one, just for old time's sake.
Yeah, just throw it up.
Yeah, just throw it up, says Pendles. Whatever. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Because you're here. When you leave, I might have a separate opinion. That's another conversation. There was a few big, big bumps over the weekend. None bigger than Pickett, who was given 2 weeks. It looked to me as though his feet had left the ground and he was almost horizontal.
Yeah, it was a huge hit. Even in the Adelaide game, there was a massive hit in that one.
Yeah, McAdam.
Yeah,
he finds out today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so Pickett got 2, Buddy got 1, and we don't know what the other bloke got yet.
Yeah, ours is all outcome based, which is
So if he's 6 inches higher and clips Bailey Smith,
if he hits him in the face and knocks him out,
how long is he getting then?
I think for years there's been the question around: are we going to punish the outcome or the action? And where do we live? And we still live in the outcome, punishing the outcome, which I think. Yeah, rightly or wrongly, I don't agree with that. I think it should be the action that gets punished. That's, you know, they're not football actions.
Well, it's an intention, isn't it? When you launch yourself at someone like Pickett did.
Yeah, your intention is to hurt.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. It's to clean a bloke up.
It's not a football action. And Yeah, I think, and I'm talking for everyone in the game here, not about those instances, but I think it's something that we need to get rid of out of our game. And but this chat's been going on for 5 or 6 years, and watching the NRL, if there's stuff like that that happens, is, you know, they get sin bin plays, and I don't mind that for our game. You know, like say if Pickett was to get sin bin, so it's a complete disadvantage. Now you play 17v18
for 10 minutes,
like, yeah, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then you go to whatever. I think it's those non football actions. I think we really need to treat seriously and get out of our game.
Yeah, because the Franklin one, you kind of go, oh, I sort of get it. He had to brace himself. He probably didn't really need to do what he did, but it was sort of seemed a lot better than leaving your feet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's still that one that's really tricky is when you're sort of in that, you know, contesting the ball and you've got your body over it and they lead with their head, but some of us older guys got taught to lead with your sort of hip and shoulder because, you know, that's how you protect yourself. So. Mm. We're still trying to balance them out. And I think they're the ones that, you know, 10 years ago, Buddy wouldn't even get looked at for that. Now that's a week because we're so keen to protect the head.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think we've got to take that approach to everything.
Well, and of course, Gary Ablett Sr.'s come out now. We don't know whether he's going to be the face of one of these class actions against the AFL around their concussion policy. But he's
Yeah, I think there's a lot of players coming out now with some
about
issues.
100 of them, I believe.
Yeah, in that class action. And
yeah.
You know, I've heard a lot of talk about it, and that's why I think we need to treat it seriously now for what it is. And as I said, I'm not the first person to say it. There's many over 5, 6, 7 years of we need to treat this seriously. And, you know, the MRO or whatever it's called these days need a, I don't know if it's a better system or a better way of looking at things to, yeah, make sure we stamp it out. And I don't know if we're getting it right at
the moment. How's your concussion history?
I've had one.
One.
So right at the end of a game, one. So I've been really fortunate in my career. But, yeah, I think we're getting there. You know, guys that automatic week off and most guys now take 2 weeks off because you know, they're not cleared and, you know, a lot of them don't even train for 2 weeks because we're treating it the way we should. So we're getting there, but I still think there's room to move.
Because where does it end up? I mean...
Well, it ends up in... where you hear past players having these stories about their life, their quality of life and
terrible
not being able to live a normal life. That's where it ends up. So we've got to look more than just, oh, can he play next week or it hurts the side or the balance in 2 weeks' time, we need him back. It's we need this kid to have a normal life.
Yeah. Did you see much of, slightly off topic, but still football, Harry Sheasel, did you see much of him for
North? I did. I watched most of that game.
How good was he?
I just thought of Nick Dacos straight away.
Did you?
Young kid.
Similar poise.
Running around the back line.
Just loved it, didn't he?
Yeah, getting given the ball.
Got three touches in about the first minute and a half.
Oh, he felt like he had three touches every 3 minutes.
He was a magnet.
Everywhere. His ball use and his composure. He just looks so steady down there.
Who have you got next week?
Got Port on Saturday.
Yeah, Port on Saturday.
Did you see much of them? Because they were sharp.
I didn't see much of that game, but I obviously seen the scoreboard and they looked so sharp. But I seen a bit of the highlights and, yeah, they look so dynamic, so fit.
In Adelaide or here?
Yeah, it was in Adelaide. Oh, we play them here.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, so it's going to be a massive game, which is exciting.
Saturday.
Yeah,
Saturday football.
1:45.
Is that your favourite?
That's prime time for me.
Yeah.
Bunnings trip
there? You can still get
Bunnings first.
Sausage and bread. Yeah. Still have a nap and then you're on.
Exactly right. There you go.
Lovely to see you, mate. Have a lovely week.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Scott Pennery on the Marty Sheargold Show. It's Melbourne's Triple M.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.